Viel Beine. We'll be reading the whole chapter, the whole first chapter of the book of Ruth. And the sermon will be coming mainly from verses 6 through 22. Hear now God's holy word. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. The names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. She was left and her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Therefore she went out from the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest each in the house of her husband." So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "Surely we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight, and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you, or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And it happened when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" But she said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her. They returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. One of the memories I have of my relationship with Dorsey is coming home from Iraq in the middle of the deployment and getting engaged with her and having engagement pictures. And one of the photos of one of our engagement photos is us in the field, and it's all very photogenic. And her sister, you know, is a photographer and everything. And she's falling back with her arms wide open. We're in this grassy field. You can picture it. I'm behind her. She's facing away from me. Her back's to me, and she's falling back with her arms spread out. And here I am like this. And it's a picture of trust. It's a picture of trust. She's trusting that I would catch her. I thought about not catching her, but I did catch her. And even though she was in love with me and she trusted me, she still had to think about it. She still had to think about it because she can't see me. She doesn't know if my arm is out. And she had to trust my word. She had to trust my word that I was going to do what I said I would do. And even though we love the Lord Jesus Christ, and even though we know He's a gracious Savior and His Father, God the Father, is a loving Father and such, sometimes it's hard to exercise faith. Sometimes it's hard to exercise faith. In fact, most of the time, it's difficult for different reasons. And I want to speak to you on the idea, the topic of faith, somewhat of a topical sermon from this narrative. The Old Testament was written, Paul says to the Corinthians, for our instruction. This is a narrative. It's a story. It's not didactic. It's not here are the lessons, 1, 2, 3. God has given us stories, and we need to interpret them in light of Scripture. We need to interpret them in light, in this case, of the Old Testament law, especially. We need to look at the history of the context and such and learn from this. And we learn a lot about faith. We have snapshots of faith here. The time of the judges, or rather I should say the book of Ruth, was written during the time of the judges. Okay, we read that in the first verse. The time of the judges was not a good time. It was a bad time. Before David was, the Davidic covenant was established before King David. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. There's a famine. Okay, that should... You should think about the blessings and the curses in Deuteronomy. God's people are corporately more or less in sin, so God's cursing them. The curses of the covenant are coming upon them. There's a famine. They leave the promised land. Not good. These men marry Moabites. Moabitess women. Not good. This is the context here, and they die. Elimelech dies, and Naomi's two sons. This is what happens here, and so she's coming back, and what I want you to see this evening is this lesson. Faith being more than a temporary feeling yields to divine understanding and trust in the Lord. Faith being more than a temporary feeling yields to divine understanding and trust in the Lord. And I want to, again, this is a bit topical, but I want to look at this lesson through three people, three snapshots of either faith or maybe not faith in some cases, one case. So first, I want you to see no faith. That's Orpah. Second, I want you to see weak faith. That's Naomi. And then third, strong faith. That's Ruth. So first, no faith, Orpah. And the way her lack of faith or absence of faith portrays itself is through feelings only. And what we need to see is faith is more than temporary feeling. Faith being more than temporary feeling. I want you to think about that. But it's temporary. It's not enduring. What I want you to see is in verse 7, it says this, "Therefore she went out from the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her." Her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went out on the way to return to the land of Judah. Orpah started to go back to the promised land. We don't know how long it was. Maybe it was just a couple of hours, but at least she started. Could have been a couple of days, but it was temporary. It didn't last. But notice especially how she has positive sentiments. So she has emotion. She has an attachment to God's people, to Naomi. And this is what I really want you to think about. In regard to faith and your faith, she's affectionate towards Naomi. And we see a lot of affection, a lot of affection here. Verse 9 that says, "The Lord grant," this is Naomi speaking. She's appealing to her two daughters-in-law to go back. "The Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband." What happens? So she kissed them and they lifted up their voices and wept. Orpah's emotional. I mean, think about it. She's going to leave her mother-in-law. She's obviously affectionate to her mother-in-law. Naomi must have been a wise and caring mother-in-law. And she's affectionate toward her. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. But when I think about this, we should think about also the parable of the sower. I mentioned that a little bit this morning. And in God's providence, these sermons kind of go together. Parable of the sower. Mark chapter 4, verse 16. You have different soils. The stony ground. Temporary emotion. Not real faith. Doesn't produce anything. Mark 4, verse 16. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Okay, there's emotion. Positive sentiment. They immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. It's temporary. And this is what we're seeing here with Orpah. And I want to ask you whether or not you have faith, whether you have genuine faith. You can love your parents, children, adults. You can love your parents. The question is whether or not you love the Lord Jesus. I've been with people who are somewhat associated with churches, and they probably would profess to be Christians, more or less. And they would love for you to pray for them. They have some kind of positive sentiment toward God and toward the ordinances of God. Not so much to God Himself and through His Son, Jesus Christ. I've been to hospitals where people don't want to pray to God. They want you to pray. They have some kind of emotional positive sentiment toward the Lord. They might be attached to Christian songs. They might get emotional about that. They'll go to funerals. This is somewhat of a funeral. Okay, Orpah's not going to see Naomi anymore. And they'll get emotional about someone who, a Christian, a believing parent. They're attached to this person, this member of God's people. That's not faith. That's not saving faith. There must be a direct connection between you and the living God through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is in trusting in the Lord and following Him. Faith is in the doing. I'm not talking about whether you sin or you fail here or there. The question is this: in what direction is your life going? Are you walking towards the promised land like Naomi, or are you content living in foreign lands? No faith. Orpah has no faith. Specifically, she doesn't go beyond positive sentiments. It's just a temporary feeling. We can see what faith is not, but what is faith? In these next two examples, we learn something about what actually faith is. Secondly, I characterize Naomi as weak faith. Weak faith. Now, there's faith, and that's important. I'm going to elaborate on that, but it's weak. And what we learn, to put it in a positive sense, we learn that faith yields. Okay? It gives. It sways. It yields to divine understanding. That's what faith does. I want you to keep in mind that Naomi has been without a Levitical ministry. She hasn't had a pastor. She hasn't had a church for some time. Maybe it was 10 years. Okay, maybe it was 20. Maybe it was just 5. We're not really sure. But she has her memory with her. And that's what she knows. And she proves herself to be a true Christian, if you will. And this is what happens to people who get out of the church. They get weak. Naomi does not yield to divine understanding in different ways. Okay, verse 6. Naomi sees bread in Judah instead of the promises of the land. Verse 6. Why is Naomi going back to Judah? Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited His people by giving them bread. Again, going back to the curses and the blessings. There was a bit of a prosperity gospel for God's people in the Old Testament. God promised blessings to Israel. It's in Deuteronomy 28. Bless the fruit of your womb. Bless the rain. Bless your crops. If you're faithful to the covenant. But because of disobedience, there was curses. And Deuteronomy 28 also mentions that and annotates them. It's quite long. One of them is rain. One of them is famine. Instead of obeying the Lord for obedience' sake, she went out partly because of convenience. Bread. Naomi sees no future husband in Judah. Verses 11 through 13. I'm not going to read those verses, but recall. Think about what's going on here. Naomi's telling her two daughters-in-law to go commit idolatry. Go back to the dominion of darkness. Go back to your gods. She's not thinking accurately. She's not thinking rightly. She should be thinking about the kinsman redeemer. Again, she's been without a Levitical ministry for a while. She might have not even been aware of that part of God's law. And the grace there that was for the God's Old Testament people to keep the tribes pure. Of course, that's pointing to Christ and the tribe of Judah. The kinsman redeemer is in Deuteronomy 25, 5 through 10. If a man died without a male heir, the brother was to take that wife, and the first child, first male, would belong to the deceased brother. She's forgetting her theology. She sees no future husband in Judah. Instead, she doesn't see a kinsman redeemer. She sees bitterness in Bethlehem. Verses 19 through 21. Recall that scene. You know, what's going on with Naomi's heart? She attributes what has happened to the Lord's doings. Verse 20. But she said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara." Mara means bitterness. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. It's His doings. There's no reference here to her sin. There's no reference. There's no confession. Okay, it's the Lord's doings. She attributes what's happened to the affliction of the Lord. Verse 21. "Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me?" She does not acknowledge her sin and the Lord's chastisement. However, Naomi still has faith because she returns. She does return. Maybe this is really more repentance than faith. If you recall the discussion we've had on that issue, faith and repentance always come together. They're two sides of the same coin. There's a theme in this chapter, return. It's mentioned several times in this chapter. They're returning to the promised land. That's the Hebrew word for repent. Isaiah, when he's preaching, "Turn, O house of Israel." That's the same word. Depends on the context. Return or turn. And that's being brought out. She is showing faith. She's returning, even though it's weak. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Proverbs 3, verse 5. This is what it means to walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. Abraham goes to a country he does not know. He must yield to divine understanding. Okay, Hebrews 11, 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. How many of you go on trips? You set on a trip, get in the car, kids, and you don't know where you're going. God was going to tell him. He was depending on divine understanding. Yielding to divine understanding implies that you know what the Lord has said. Psalm 119:11, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." Knowing God's word and yielding to it. We don't yield to our emotions. We don't yield to what is popular. Listen, narrow is the way, both in the sense of Christ and in a fundamental sense, but oftentimes the way of obedience is difficult. Broad is the way. Many go the other direction. It's popular. emotions. Do you make decisions? Do you live your life by your emotions? Now, emotions are a blessing. They can be a great blessing. We're people. We're not robots. Sometimes we can follow our emotions in that sense. But this is what I'm talking about. I have a friend who, a Christian man, dear brother, single man. He started this relationship with this woman and it just really hit it off with her, really well connected, chemistry, all that good stuff, same habits or same hobbies and such. His heart was knit to her. He really loved her. He's not a Christian. What is he going to do? Follow his emotions? Here's the test for you. Here's the test for you. A litmus test. Is this action, okay, this decision you got in your life, the different things that are on your mind, is this action an act of faith? By doing this, how am I following either an implicit verse or a biblical principle? Is this consistent with Scripture? Am I yielding to the understanding of God's Word? Whatever is not from faith is sin. And that verse implies faith in God's Word. Faith in what God has said. One encouraging point here I want to bring out to you. This Sabbath day, I've been challenging you on your faith. And I realize that. Something that really encourages me is how patient God was with Naomi. He was so patient with Naomi. She was not in a church for quite some time. And she came back. Her faith, listen to me, I want to encourage you. Her faith was not strong, but she had faith. And that's all that matters. That's all that matters. Just have faith. Not the strength of faith, the genuineness of faith. Are you following the Lord? Having weak faith is a wonderful thing. I can say this because Thomas is so little and probably won't ever remember. I pray for Thomas that he would have faith. Remember that story in the Gospels? Listen, Thomas, the disciple, okay, the apostle, he might not have been there that first time that Jesus appeared. But he believed. He had faith. Christ was patient with him and with Naomi. Now, if we're going to have a better snapshot of faith, we need also to look at Ruth. Although Naomi is not without faith, her faith is not the best example. Ruth, however, shows strong faith. We can learn a lot from her. So strong faith, Ruth. What we see here is that faith is a permanent trust. I like also the idea of commitment. It's a permanent trust or commitment to the Lord. Ruth is an example of commitment or trust. Now, chapter 2, verse 12, we have an inspired interpretation of the first chapter. We always want to interpret Scripture with Scripture. And what Boaz does in chapter 2 is he tells us that what Ruth's fundamentally doing is putting her faith in the Lord. She's trusting the Lord and committing herself to the Lord. So if you look at Ruth 2, verse 12, this is Boaz speaking to Ruth. Again, it's commentary on chapter 1. Boaz says this to Ruth, "The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings..." Whose wings? The Lord God of Israel. "Under whose wings you have come for refuge." She's come to the Lord for refuge. This is what we see here. Again, my opening illustration is what I'm talking about. Dorsey fell back and she trusted me. She trusted my word. Just like all those examples we read in Hebrews 11. By faith, they did these things. By faith, Moses left Egypt because he knew the word of the Lord. He knew it was true. And he did what he had to do. Three aspects of this trust or commitment. It's permanent. It was permanent. Again, I've already touched on temporary faith with Orpah, but I want to see the opposite of it. It's permanent. Verse 17. "Where you die, I will die. and there will I be buried. Listen, Ruth's committed to the Lord because even after Naomi dies, she's still going to stay there. It's permanent. Ruth is not going to return to Moab when Naomi dies. Young folks, kids, do you say in your heart, I'll trust in the Lord while I live in my parents' house? Is that what's going on in your heart? Or are you going to commit to the Lord permanently? That's what faith is. It's a permanent commitment to the Lord. This trust involves a commitment to God's people. Verse 16. Notice the commitment to God's people. She says, for wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. Your people shall be my people. She's committed to the church. Listen to a few scriptures. This is a big part of what it means to have faith in Jesus. Listen, it's not just about you and Jesus. Okay, that's not how it works. If you have faith in Jesus, Jesus is going to point you to his church. John 13:35, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. If you love Jesus, you're going to love the person you're sitting next to. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Hebrews 10:25, 1 Peter 4:9-10. I want you to think about this. You love Jesus? You trust in him? Be hospitable to one another. Without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister to one another. Each one of you has received a gift. You have the Holy Spirit. Minister to one another. Faith in Jesus means that you're committed to God's people. What are you doing to serve in this congregation? Are you bringing food? That's a big, big part of serving the congregation, bringing food. Are you volunteering? Are you having people over for hospitality? Are you discipling? And then the third aspect, maybe most importantly, this commitment or trust is in the Lord. It is in the Lord. Again, verse 16. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Kids, children, young folks, can you say that the God of your parents is your God? That's what you got to say. Your God is my God. The object of our faith is the Lord Jesus. Acts 16:31. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. She committed her life by going to Israel. We see that also. Again, what is she doing? She's returning. Okay, verse 22. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem. They came to the promised land, to God, where God's people lived and where God especially presided. Some people talk the talk, but they do not walk the walk. They can say things and they can take vows, but they do not back it up. Faith involves action. What I mean by this is that if you're trusting in the Lord and if you're a follower of the Lord, you will demonstrate that in action. Faith without works is dead, James says. And Ruth demonstrated that. She returned. Faith, being more than a temporary feeling, yields to divine understanding and trust in the Lord. And what I want you to think about tonight is whether or not, what picture do you identify with? Are you Orpah? Are you Naomi? Are you Ruth? And I want to encourage you with this as well. What happened to Naomi and Ruth? What happened to Naomi and Ruth when they exercised faith? The Lord saved them. The Lord saved them. The Lord was good with Naomi. Keep reading the book, and Naomi holds Ruth's son in her arms. Ruth and Naomi were with God's people. They honored their faith. And I want to encourage you tonight, even if it's just weak faith, the Lord's going to honor faith. He's going to honor you. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ tonight in any sense, he'll save you. He'll save you from judgment. And dear congregation, as you continue to trust in the Lord, He'll save you. He'll save you from this world. He'll give you the fruits of the Spirit. He'll comfort you by His Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that You would increase our faith. We pray as Your disciples asked Your Son while He was on the earth, increase our faith. Father, we pray that You would awaken any Orpahs here who merely just have affection for this building, affection for the people here, and not affection for Your Son and faith in Him. We ask that You would encourage us, that You would retain and keep the faith that we have. And Father, that You would grant us a firm commitment, firm trust in Your Son, permanent, enduring trust that involves action. Give us that grace, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.